This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You are watching Leicester Till I Die TV.
Till I die.
Well, good afternoon. How the devil are we all? Welcome along to LTID TV from Leicester Till I Die. If you are watching, thank you very much for joining us. It was probably came as much as a shock to you as it did to me. I had no idea about, well, no plan to do this. I was going to go back to bed this afternoon. The joy of getting up early. And then I read this. Is it something we need to worry about? You can see it there. Points to be deducted, possibly, and I say possibly, if we get promoted back up to the Premier League. We could be starting with a few, a la Everton, really. Obviously, they didn't look take into a fact that we are called City, because apparently if you're called City, it means that you don't get done by FFP. Oops. Oh, did I say that out loud? I have got two. Well, I was hoping to have two extremely intelligent, up-to-date, finger-on-the-pulse people about Leicester City. They weren't available, so I've got Brad and Dave in. Here we go.
Chris does it 3 hours a day.
Want to do it again?
5 days a week.
Oh, yes.
Just for you.
I love it.
On the Golden Breakfast Show.
Is Surrey Hills Radio.
Indeed it is. And Your Majesty, thank you for tuning in today. Just in case you're wondering, we've got a very special person watching us today. She who must be obeyed, her indoors. Dave calls her a lot worse when she's not listening. I believe she is listening. Kaylee, welcome along. Welcome to the day job, as they say. How the devil are you? Right, let's get this show on the road, shall we?
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts.
Including Leicester Till I Die, independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans, for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
Welcome along to Surrey Hills Community Radio. Oh, sorry, that's the wrong introduction. Sorry, I need to get rid of that one.
Do you want to show at 4 o'clock as well? Oh no, it's 4 minutes, isn't it? Sorry, it's half past two, isn't it?
I don't know where I've been out.
You know, Brad, when I said hopefully because it's the afternoon, he hadn't been drinking.
unfortunately, I think he's still drunk from the night before.
I think he has. Hi, Fields is in. Let's just say a few hellos first of all. Hi, Fields. Hello. Welcome along. Ronald McDonald, I was doing an advert for you earlier. Well, the other day, actually, for McDonald's, but that's TalkSport. Take anything the Leicestershire Live app with a pinch of salt. Good point, and obviously it's also in the sun, as you can see there, but I'm sure, well, I know Brad's got something to say about that. And Rene's talking about Sunderland tomorrow, which will be a different show tonight at 7, Rene, when we do the preview. So let's have a look at what this Sun are saying then, shall we? Leicester could face Premier points deduction next season, but loophole means financial issue will not affect promotion bid. Leicester are facing questions from rivals, it says here, about two potential breaches of financial rules. Clubs in both the Premier League and Championship suspect the Foxes broke the top flight's £105 million limit on losses for the 3 years that ended last term, an average of £35 million per Prem season. They also believe Leicester will exceed the £83 million of combined losses they can make over 3 years, ending the current campaign, with the EFL allowing only £13 million losses per season. But boss Enzo Maresca could lead them back to the Prem before any breaches are punished. There is growing frustration that it remains unclear which league is responsible for checking the club's finances for the season when they are relegated from or promoted to the top flight. And the delay in resolving cases allows clubs to escape immediate penalty for gaining an unfair advantage. If any of last season's relegated clubs, that's us, of course, Southampton and Leeds, broke rules in 22-23, they could be promoted back to the Premier League before a case was brought. Dave, let's come to you first of all. I mean, it's like, surely this was the reason we got relegated, because we didn't have money to spend.
Well, that's right. And that's why we didn't buy any players when we needed them. I don't understand the fair play rules, to be honest. I know the formula, but I don't really understand it, because if that's the case, some of these clubs that are spending money with low attendances surely are in the same position. I mean, we've spent a lot of money on things like the training facilities and youth set up and all that, and that's okay, isn't it? That doesn't come into it.
No.
But, you know, I don't see where all this comes from. The players we've offloaded and the players we've brought in, I would imagine there's a credit there, but this is news, isn't it, really, to us?
It is. And I was sat down watching Fool Me Once on Netflix when I suddenly saw this come up on my phone. Brad, I know you're not overly impressed, because as Ronald wasn't, because Leicester Cheer Live and the Sun, but, I mean, Sky Sports own the Sun. You tend to trust Sky Sports a little bit more. I don't know if it's been up on Sky Sports yet.
No, I don't trust them. If they own the Sun, I don't trust them. It's as simple as that. But at the end of the day, isn't it convenient how Chelsea can spend $800 million? they're not getting investigated or looked into for any potential wrongdoings. And again, what I'm about to say here, Chris, as an example, I'm not saying that these clubs are. I'm just finding it very convenient that Arsenal can spend hundreds of millions, not a dicky bird. Chelsea can spend hundreds of millions, not a dicky bird. Who else? Oh, Tottenham can basically get given a £1 billion stadium, but nothing suspicious about that. West Ham, who, okay, probably don't fall into the big club biases that I'm trying to make the obvious point here to, but they've got a Olympic-approved stadium, for bugger all. basically the council gave them as a Christmas bonus. But they don't get looked into whether they can keep, you know, the upkeep on that and everything like that. But let's look at clubs that have suffered due to this FFP or not being able to sustain whatever value the club holds. Reading deducted points after points after points after points. Everton, their own downfall, have been deducted points. You know, at least they had the balls to admit they'd done wrong. Manchester City, 155 times, and probably more.
Do you want me to go and get some lunch, Chris?
You might as well, because it's going to be a little... I've got about another 40 seconds. This way. You know what I mean?
I'm going to say, how many clubs are we going to get through here out of the
90s? I just find it convenient how all these big-name clubs, nothing to say about their financial status, but a relegated Leicester side doing really well in the Championship. Suddenly looking at, because that's not fair. That's what I think, Gio. Because if I've done my maths right, we are only about, at worst, £1 million in deficit. About 135 would be £1 million overspent and still be allowed to spend £35 million more on it. It's rubbish.
I mean, let me let you get a word in, Dave.
Okay.
That's fine. No, you stay there.
I said in my introduction, Dave, you know, that we're called City. They've overlooked that, obviously, you know. It's actually also on Leeds Live, but that's not a surprise because it's the same group as Leicestershire Live. So that's not particularly a surprise. But, you know, I mean, in fairness, and I get what Brad was saying totally, and in fairness with Arsenal, you know, they would argue that the reason they haven't won anything for so long is because they've not gone out and spent in the same way as, City, Chelsea. I mean, Chelsea's a joke, totally be honest with you. And yes, they have got a big stadium, so they've got more fans coming in. But it does smack, and I don't know whether I've got my blue tinted spectacles on here, Dave, but it does smack of, as Brad said, of let's hit with the baseball bat the small boys.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you miss Wigan out, who are still having points deducted, are they, or something like that? Scott, I think he is, and I think you're right. London clubs and big clubs. So, you know, Chelsea, they could do it on an eight-year contract. So, and everybody knows it's a joke, but nobody does anything about it. And Leicester, it's easy to have a pop at, isn't it? And they had a pop about your big high horse thing. Was it the shirts or something?
They
got done for that. And we were more, I think we were in more trouble probably 2 years ago than we are now, because we had a lot of Premier League title earners at the club. And the wages that people like Madison were on, and, you know, we've got rid of them. So I just don't see it. And I get this bit about Leicestershire Live. They're a disgrace, to be honest. I'm sorry if you have any ties to them, but they just jump on any bandwagon to get the advertisers in and to get the clicks. I think I said it in my thing post earlier. Do they, if they get a click on, do they get more money from the revenue or something?
Video adverts on the link.
So it's a classic click on, isn't it?
Yeah, clickbait, as it's called.
Yeah,
I would say all their clubs are like that, though. All these Leeds Lives, Saints Lives, or whatever. I'm only using them three because we're the three that are in this. I'm sure Everton TV is the same. I'm sure Wigan, whatever. It's all clickbait titles. It's all copy and paste. It's like I said, Chris. I have said this a million and one times with this. It's lazy journalism, is what it is.
Sorry, I just. Kayle, if you listen, I've just had a message from Ofcom, but it's fine. Don't worry.
we nearly had drama on the show. We nearly had an investigation live.
Throw that grenade into the wood pile, don't you?
I was waiting to open up FBI just in case.
I heard the ping go. I thought, oh, I'm
going to. I
know.
It's the hell ping. Oh, God. No, it's fine.
You go and say Chris is getting one.
It's fine. It's fine,
Brad.
Can I finish off on the Sun and the Sky? Sky's coverage of, was it the Leeds game, was pretty shoddy, and the Sun newspaper, although it's a favourite of the breakfast show, I think, You don't believe it.
It's favourite to the bit of fun, isn't it? Because they do the stories that are funny to read out.
Well, there you go. Yeah. But it's what's slightly worrying is that somebody might take it seriously out there and start investigating this. But then they'll have to investigate everybody else. The whole football league. How can you pick out clubs by what was the comment? Teams have suspected that we've broken the rules, or other clubs have suspected. Come on.
So does that mean if you start crying loud enough about Crystal Palace spending, they'll get investigated? Sounds like Southampton salty tears and all that. To be honest with you, how salty they've been getting over us.
It's going to go on and on until there are some real fast rules and some clear rules about what you can and can't do.
That's the thing, isn't it? The rules are not clear. They're not as clear as mud, let's be honest with you. Just come in and go, right, you know, Chelsea, you've got that amount to spend this season. You do not go over it. You know, like, it's that for the next upcoming season. You can spend so much. And let's be honest with you, Brad, we know Man United can spend bigger than us because they've got more of a fan base. They've got more income coming in than Leicester have. You know, we're not even filling our stadium some weekends for games. And that's before the expansion. And that's why we were going to do the expansion, to make us, you know, more sustainable. But I just don't get it. And the thing is, Brad, what worries me is we have got history with this, haven't we?
Yeah, but also I know exactly what history you're talking about, but you could also flip that history in our favour and go, well, UEFA investigated us strictly. I remember that. They warned us,
that's why.
Yeah, they warned us. Yeah, they warned us, and let's admit it, unlike the Premier League and the FA, UEFA don't piddle around. You know, UEFA are the reasons that certain clubs, even the big, you know, foreign clubs like Juventus and that, actually caved and got all their suspensions, because UEFA, no, they're not getting away with it. They cheated, or they did this to win the Champions League or whatever. So you have to punish them, and that's what led to further investigations with them, right? If UEFA sent us a warning saying, by the way, we think you're breaking our rules, and we haven't heard a dicky bird back off UEFA, which is better. You know, they say sometimes no news is good news. Well, it can be the case with UEFA. If they haven't got back to you within 6 months after...
Yeah.
But basically saying we are getting every set of eyes checking...
Well, I think in fairness to UEFA, Brad, they didn't need to investigate us if we didn't get back into Europe.
No, but they still could look at that past things, and then any earnings, any sponsorship earnings, because it's very strict, isn't it? Like the one thing that I find very ludicrous about it, and I need someone to explain it to it, is they are so tight-fisted with sponsorships, which I suppose is beneficial to them as competition, but we couldn't call our own stadium the King Power Stadium when we were playing. It was ridiculous. I mean, I worked at the club at that time, and they literally covered up anything that said King Power. It had a blank advertisement board on it, or it had Leicester City Football Stadium printed over it. It was pathetic. It's a pathetic rule, but hey ho, that's their choice. If they're that rigorous in it, it wouldn't have mattered that we didn't get into Europe, Chris. They'd have gone, yeah, well, you see how you got to the semi-finals? Well, you got there because you overspent. Tut, 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 all your earnings, give it back. And that's how you wait for it.
And the other thing would have been that they would have checked, because don't forget, the following two seasons, we should have finished fourth. So we would have been in the Champions League.
Oh, no, the warning we got off UEFA...
Didn't it happen before then?
No, after then. It happened at the start of the season that we got relegated, at the start of last season. Great. UEFA came along and said, look, you know, basically, and this came to us, and I think they came to West Ham, and I think they went to... It may well have been Chelsea, I'm not sure, but they went to some of those clubs and said, look, you know, you've overspent what you should do. If you carry on, and we were allowed, we had overspent under normal rules, but the rules had been kind of stretched a little bit because of COVID. So we were allowed to go a little bit further than we normally would. So but we still came very close to the wind. And what they said was that, look, if you don't rein it in, if you qualify for Europe next season, we'll chuck you out. So in an attempt to rein it in, and this, what I say, only came out sort of literally deadline day when Top put it in the Manchester United program because we played on deadline day. Top had to go and go, sorry, we can't buy this player, we can't buy that player, we've got to sell. And then obviously it all blew up in Rodgers' face. And that's why we didn't make any signings that summer. So surely we have, if you like, I'm not saying, but we've already been punished by getting relegated, haven't we? Maybe we've got to sort of say, oh, okay, let's not have a go at Everton, what they did when we did it, and we just weren't, we're still not good enough.
We don't know, though, do we, what we did, really? I mean, aren't the accounts out yet? They're not out, are they, yet?
Not this season, no. Not last season, sorry, aren't out yet. No.
So we don't know, for a start, and I don't know whether we'd know anyway. Unless, I mean, I wouldn't know where to start.
Well, I mean, I reading that article, Dave, it's actually, and I'm not, again, kind of tongue-in-cheek this, doesn't it sound a bit suspicious that a club can basically get told that you have to give your records, but if you don't get relegated, you don't have to give us your records until certain times? I suppose it's because you can't account for a loss or a gain in promotion or relegation. You know, you can't account for an expenditure without knowing where you are for a certain year, which is like what Leicester, which is why there was a fire sale at Leicester. That the articles go on to read basically saying over the last 2 years, we made a profit on sales, which gives us a profit for that last year, a profit for this year, and only puts us, if I've done my maths right, thinking it out in my head, puts us basically at £1 million in a minus for this year's allowance of 30 million. So Leicester are arguing that, you know, they didn't have to put it on because they had until the 31st of December. But what, Leicester were then told, oh yeah, but because you're in the bottom three at Christmas, because I think we were, but they were told you don't have to as long as you get relegated. It just makes it sound sus, doesn't it? It makes you think, like, I'm not saying this by any chance, but it makes you feel like maybe someone like Sheffield United this season, if their finances aren't that, you know, aren't that brilliant, and I'm not saying they're not, but they're that far behind, they're like a Rotherham of this league. What if they just decide to go, just chuck it away? Gives us more time to fix it.
Let me ask you one question here, and very relevant to this. Did man land on the moon?
No, again,
I mean, this is a great conspiracy theory, and I love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, but, I watched it live.
Yeah. Hey, Dave was the cameraman. He was up there.
On black and white. Yeah.
Alec, look, I'm going to... I don't know. I mean, hopefully this is the end of John Rudkin. Look, Alec, everybody's got their opinion. This is nothing to do with John Rudkin. What, you know, everything, anything goes bad. People come out the woodwork and go, oh, John Rudkin did this, John Rudkin did that. John Rudkin does what he's told. He's given a budget. He does not go out and pick the players. He does not go out and agree a fee for the players. That's the club. He gets the contract and decides how much they're going to be paid. But he is told what he can go up to. And were you, Alec, complaining when John Rudkin bought in Kante? When John Rudkin brought in Mahrez, when John Rudkin brought in Vardy? No, you fucking weren't. And yes, Dave, you are right. You did say the other day that I do lose it sometimes. I'm sorry. I am just...
Can I ask you a question? Yeah, can I ask you a question? There was a meeting this week, wasn't there, of the Premier League? A, about giving lower clubs more money, but B, about changing the fair play rules.
They are so that, ESL or something they're going to call it.
So that no small club will ever be able to survive in the Premier League because of the spending ability. Is that right?
I mean, the fact that the Premier League is bending the rules maybe to look to the bigger clubs, who knew?
That's my point. Yeah. Well, but you know. Surely, you know, you can't have it both ways.
No. Brad, am I talking shit or have I got a point here? I mean, he's given bad contracts for years. He gives what he's got to do to get those players in. You know, if a man, you know, all right, Slimani, let's take it Slimani for an example. But Ranieri wanted him. Wanted him. It wasn't his fault, was it, Brad?
No, it wasn't. And at the end of the day, I don't think it was John Rudkin that was...
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Away days are great, but when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Offering the players a brand new BMW, black, blue and black BMW, if they achieve certain things, and wasn't giving them all release clauses. No, it was the owners and the people in charge of the finances saying, you know, I don't think people understand how contracts work. What happens is an agent will meet with a club representative, and it might be John Rudkin, and it might be... It's funny that, isn't it? You never give them a pat on the back when we bring in these players. It's someone else who's done it. But the second we make a bad contract offer, it's John Rudkin's fault.
No, John Rudkin. Let me just very quickly interrupt to say to Alex, Steve Walsh was the scout. Steve Walsh did not do contracts. That has always been John Rudkin. Since the King Power came in, they made John Rudkin, who was also doing something else as well, they made him director of football. That's what he does. Steve Walsh has nothing to do with the contracts. Yeah. Alex, really, I think you're right in your opinion, and I respect your opinion, but just check facts.
Can I suggest that maybe they wouldn't have the authority to do that without the chairman or the boss?
No, this is exactly the simplistics. I'll give you the simplistics of how John Rudkin works in his role as a contract negotiator. He will get told, he get a phone call saying, hi, John, right, we've been speaking to N'Golo Kante's representative. I'm going to take you back to this. It's a bit simplistic and it's an easier to remember. Okay, yeah, he is keen on the move. He's going to meet you in the office. He says tomorrow, 12 o'clock. Bang, brilliant. Get him in, whatever. Okay, N'Golo Kante's coming into the office. It's a signing that Ranieri wants. How much are we willing to offer him? Find out how much he wants. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Sits down with representative. He's got a sheet in front. He'll have a sheet in front of him then, John Rudkin, saying, this is what we want to offer him. This is the max we're willing to offer him. Anything in between is free reign, whether that's signing on bonuses, what we're willing to pay on that. They'll have a min and a max for that. Anything clauses in the contract, he'll have to then correspond with his representatives, i.e. our owners, and whatnot, to kind of get the balance. So let's say he went, okay, I've spoken to Conte's agent. He's a little bit hesitant with the links to Chelsea, but he is keen to come and join us if the raft was right. He wants 100 grand a week. I'm not saying that's what he's on, but let's use simple numbers here. He wants a £2 million signing on bonus. His agent wants half a million, and he wants a brand new flashy car. Because we know we tried to offer him a Mini. So let's say he wants a brand new 50 grand.
He's only a little guy, isn't he?
Yeah, so was his car. But my point stands. So Leicester, in turn, for this contract, have to offer him 100 grand a week. So whatever that is per year for a 5-year contract, or however long his contract was. So he wants a 3-year contract. So 100 grand a week, 500, that's 500 a month.
16 million. Yeah.
There you go. 16 million plus add-ons. It's about 20 million. Let's say the fees and all that. And he wants bonuses, etc. So let's say the whole thing costs £20 million. There's the accountant. That's what John Rudkin's doing. And he then turned around and goes...
He's thinking, fucking hell.
Yeah, he is. He's thinking, right. But then Rudkin will look at his calculator, like Christian, and goes, ah, what you're asking for, we actually can't afford. We can afford to give you £18 million. So if you dump some things down, cut a few losses and cut a few corners, maybe put some things in, we can afford to pay you collectively £18 million for your contract. Yay or nay? That's what I've been told I can offer you. Yay, brilliant. Get him in, get the fitness test done.
It just annoys me that whatever, you know, if the toilets are blocked in COP 1, you know, it's John Rudkin's fault. Everything bad that happened to this club, people And Alec, as I say, I do respect your opinion, mate. And you know, you're entitled to your opinion, but John Rudkin does not have blanket say to do what he wants. He's got to answer to people.
Yeah. Joking aside about all this, I know you're not joking, Chris, but I've really only been brought to the attention with John Rudkin's to blame by people's comments. I don't honestly know what he's involved in, apart from what Brad's just told me. Because
that's not his priority role either.
No, that's right. But we're not party of that, are we? We don't get all the facts and figures of who does what where. I mean, we can only guess. He's a director of football.
Yeah.
You know.
And to go back to what Chrissy says, I worked at housekeeping as a radio, and I'm sorry, Chris, I have to tell you, you lie, she's speaking bullshit. The amount of times the toilet flooded on SK1, and I went, that John Rudkin, he's done it again. You know, the amount of times, I'm sorry, guys, that burger that got burnt on that fan Bertie's tongue, John Rudkin, get him in here in the office.
Oh, I thought it was Barry Pierpoint's fault.
No. We only blame him when the turnstiles don't work.
But you know, you see what I'm getting at, don't you?
Yeah.
It's the same boat that you can't blame a player for, so we've got to blame a member of staff.
Well, you're fine, Chris. I mean, you've seen on your page that somebody, we've got to blame somebody. It's more of a disappointment thing than anybody else. It's like back in the day when, I don't know, back in the 70s, we had terrific entertainers, but we didn't win anything, really. We didn't win anything. And these four old couple behind me moaned every game. And I just said, why do you come? You know, I mean, we're all disappointed, but, you know, give it a break. We had Weller, Worthington, Garland, Glover, you know, all those sort of players. God, I'd love some of that now. But they have to blame somebody. And unfortunately, it comes out in not the nicest way sometimes.
I'm just looking here at the management thing. Now, John Rudkin here, it just says he's director of football. I thought it might actually. Kevin Davis is actually the finance director, Alex. So maybe Kevin Davis needs to feel your wrath rather than John Rudkin, because John Rudkin will be reporting when it comes negotiations to Kevin Davis. But we've gone off track. Is this something, guys, I'll come to you with this one first, Dave. Is this something that we need to worry about, do you think? I mean, the last thing we want to do is get promoted and then start off with it would be -6 points because that kind of bar has been set.
I think not yet. I think if it's in a decent newspaper at some stage and reported maybe by a couple of the magazines that we get, then maybe there's something to think about then, but...
I dread to think what magazines you get, Dave.
Brown
envelope jobs, are they?
The Athletic, mate. But The Sun, Leicester, Mercury, which used to be my uncle worked there, and it was brilliant paper. Now it's just another one of those rubbish mags. We get the same in Surrey. You know, it's the same thing. You go on to look at a headline and you get shed loads of the same adverts coming up all around the country. But if it goes a bit further, if somebody actually does some serious journalism on it, then maybe we start to worry. Yeah,
I'm just looking here. There's nothing on the Athletic at the moment. Brad,
they pick up quick.
They do. I mean, the guy is I've forgotten the gentleman's name now, but he's very good.
He's a Leicester boy, isn't he, really?
Rob Tanner. He's a Leicester correspondent. He's all over things. Brad, you know, do you think we need to worry? Ronald doesn't.
No, I'm not worried because it seems to rear its head. It's almost like journalists are bored and gone, oh, well, that Man City FFP thing's gone dead. No, that Everton story and Notts Forest thing's gone a bit boring. Who else can we pick on? Oh, do you remember at the start of the season when we picked on Leeds, Southampton and Leicester because they got relegated? Yeah, let's do that again. It just feels like that because it's the same crap, trash journalistic team making the same story. Like Dave said, it's not on like Talk Sport or going, oh, let's do this, let's do that. I've not heard that this morning. It wasn't until you messaged me that I was like, I best search Leicestershire Live on Google because I haven't seen a thing on Facebook. I haven't seen a thing on Twitter. And you know, when this was serious for clubs like Everton, bang, straight out, you know, get in front of it, bang, yeah, right, yeah, maybe we have, we've kind of, we knew this might happen eventually, we was hoping to get away, but we haven't, we're hands up, right? And I think Nottingham Forest have either reputed the claims straight up. I think our guys, there's probably some guy with no degrees at all inside our own office spewing this shite to the mercury that's causing it. Until something decent comes up or I see it on Sky Sports News as breaking news, I won't worry about it.
Dave, like I say, we have got history. We broke FFP when we were back in the Championship before under these owners. We got done for selling the shirts and conning decent fans out of money under these owners. They do say, don't they, no smoke without fire.
Well, I think you're a bit harsh about the shirts, but I know it's passionate to you for that one. But
not harsh. I mean, fans were being charged more than they. I mean, the shirts aren't cheap anyway.
No, they're not. But life is like that, Chris. I mean, I've just been shopping this morning. It's the worst 2 hours of my life. But you know, you go into different shops and somebody's trying to sell things dearer than somebody else.
Don't tell your good lady that.
But no, she's just gone out now. So, but
what I'm saying is that
that's life. That's what happens. You go to McDonald's,
but it was still illegal because we got done for it. So,
well, what cartel is that?
It was illegal.
Cartels are illegal.
Yes,
monopolies are illegal. But that is it's a monopoly.
But again,
David wasn't allowed to take to merge with Asda. So,
but again, you could argue. You could argue our Man United, our Real Madrid, our Chelsea getting investigated, maybe having their hands in the cookie jar with these foreign knockoff kits that get sold in Greece and India and all around the world that aren't really the proper little McCoys, but they've got their branding on it. So it just makes me wonder how we get, we did it locally and got found out there. And I agree with you, Chris, they were right to be investigated, but I wouldn't be too surprised if these so-called cheap fake knockoff shirts aren't just stopped. They couldn't get rid of these big clubs and they sent them out there.
You want to go on TikTok, there's a few shirt shops on there that are selling all the allegedly branded kits.
It happens in London, stays in London. Sorry, can't see it.
Or in China in that particular instance.
Maybe we should move Leicester to London.
Brad, I mean, it wasn't so long ago. Then we're on quicksand here because we were talking about suing Everton not so long ago. You would hope that, I mean, that would come back. I mean, if we are in this position, embarrassment here. We're about to sue a club for doing what we would allegedly at this point doing.
Yeah, I understand that, but I think the drastic part of that is Everton's is so alarmingly bad that to say they've only got 6 points is actually a little bit of a joke to the system. Like, okay, fine, we've set a bar. So they've kind of shot themselves in the foot now because they can't give out points willy-nilly like they were docking whatever made-up figures it felt. The fact that they've retracted four of Everton's 10 points deduction has basically told everybody, you break the rules, if you can afford 6 points, do it. Which, again, you could say certain teams might do because the time these investigations get sorted and done. I mean, if we were so urgently and so obviously have broken the rules, then why weren't we on -6 from the start of the season like Everton were? It just makes me think, how true is this investigation? Or is it because our name with Leeds and Everton and Forest was getting squawked about at the start of the season because we were the anti-heroes going against this guy. And now it's like, oh, no, actually, didn't you 3 years ago break the rule? We need to investigate you. Like I said,
for me, personally, I just think we're a very easy target, as would be Leeds, as would be Southampton, if they're accused as well. And I know somebody said earlier about Leeds and the money that they have spent. But, I mean, Chelsea, we know, give sort of 25-year contracts out to players to get around it that way. I just think we're very easy. I think the Premier League have set the bar at the 6 points now, because they went in with 10, which was ridiculously high when you think you only get deducted 9, Dave, if you go bus, and yet they got deducted 10. And I think 6 is probably fair. So I think it would be 6 if it was. I just think there's going to be more, for me, Dave, there's going to be more of these stories come out because they are trying to clamp down on it. And the more that stories come out, then it just keeps teams in check, doesn't it?
I think it's right. I think they should. But then they can't, because Man City's been going on already for about 5 years, isn't it? Chelsea... Well,
they've got bigger pockets and more expensive lawyers than anybody else.
Big solicitors, they certainly have.
Yeah.
But, you know, how far do you go? Do you go all the way down to non-league clubs that I know are paying players beyond their income?
Ooh, you know, he's got a lowdown.
How do you think Dorking got into the National League? Certainly not through fair play rules. Ooh. It's all about having a rich sponsor.
Yeah. You know, isn't there a team in League Two? Is it Southend that, admittedly, they're mid-table, but I saw it watching the BBC yesterday. They had a little asterisk next to their name and they were mid-table. I thought, oh, what's that? They would deduct 10 points.
Yeah.
It's funny how they're quick to get the money. It's like the greedy tax man, isn't it? They owe you money, you'll wait years for the money that they owe you, but the second you owe them money, they want it straight away. And the easiest way to get it is off the ones that can't afford to defend themselves. What about Wrexham?
How does that work? They got probably a Championship striker playing for him. He don't come cheap.
No,
I knew it was a lower league club. I knew they were down near that bottom. I didn't know they were quite National League. I thought they might have been League Two.
I'll end on this point now, because I think we've kind of covered it. But Brad, I mean, does it help deducting points? Because all you do is probably, like with Reading there, get that team relegated. So they're in a lower league, earning less money. So that's going to put them in a worse situation again, possibly get more points deducted as they try to get out of that league. It's a never-ending circle, is it?
No, it isn't. And this is where I think maybe somebody in that department needs to have, they need to have a sit-down, a full-on discussion, and everybody... Even if you do, maybe you need to do a majority vote, because that seems to be how these things are done these days. I don't know why it isn't a clear-cut thing, but apparently it's not. But where they just agree on this set rule, you do this, you break the rule by this much, this happens to you, you break the rule by this much, you know, and it's clear, and not just the clubs, but the fans understand it. So that way, you know, we know. So let's say, Chris, that Leicester have let's just put a hypothetical out there, and they breached the rules, but they breached it under 5 million. Leicester get a £2 million fine. And if they breached it by over 5 million, they get a 6-point deduction. It's, you know what I mean? Something that's very clear cut. You've got one at the other. You breach it by a little bit, you get a bit of a fine. You breach it by more, you're going to get points deduction. Should points deduction count towards finances? I know a lot of clubs and understand why I go, well, it's you're only punishing the fans. But if you fail to make your loan or mortgage repayments on your house, they don't just keep taking your money that you owe them. They take back the house. So if the only way to punish a football club is to put them in a perilous situation where you're going to take them out of the league, i.e. the Premier League or League One or League Two, as we're seeing with some clubs that fall down the brackets, then you're almost repossessing that club from that league. So... I get morality wise, it should be finance, fine them. It kind of, the clue is in the name, but clubs are going to keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And this is why FFP became a global known thing, to stop that from happening, by going, okay, we're fed up with you just going, okay, pay it. You're going to suffer the consequences, whether that affects the fans or not. That's not our fault. That's shame on you. For potentially taking that club away from fans.
Well, and Dave, Chelsea, they were banned from the transfer market, weren't they, for a season?
Yes.
Was that for that?
But then we're conveniently allowed to sign a loanee that they had on a transfer window when they went last week.
I'll tell you what, they did better when Lampard was there, wasn't it? They bought all these youngsters.
Just say that name and say did well. I'll do a blind look at John Rook and say it wasn't Lampard, it was the youngsters playing that did well. It wasn't that manager. That clown couldn't manage.
I'm getting out of the middle of you two if we're going to start a Lampard.
It was like a box. Chris was like a box of duck in a haymaker. He was like, oh, God, that could hurt.
Well, wait. I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd make them sell the prized asset. All the clubs. So Haaland from Man City, players like that. I'm sorry, you've got to sell them.
I do love the story that, do you know, that Man United missed out on Haaland. Did you hear that story?
Oh, I loved it. Loved it.
Yeah. Missing over the
top. It's a bit like Chelsea missing out on thingy from Liverpool, isn't it? Well, he played there. But still nothing as bad as...
Let me just ask this question, because it is the last question. How is it... I mean, we're talking here about a few seasons ago, not just last season. It needs to be done quicker. So clubs know where they are, don't they?
Yeah, but they can't because they haven't got any proof. It comes out in the press like this. They warn the club up front. The club sort it out and get the solicitors involved, and therefore it drags on for years. And this is what's happening in Man City. It's a joke, it really is. They know they've broken the rules. We know they've broken the rules, but nobody can prove it because the solicitors block everything. Yeah. Every little piece of paperwork...
It's almost like solicitors to these big clubs go, what's that? We're breaking FFP? By how much?
Yeah.
Classic was my lawyer when I was buying where I live now. And I said, I really don't want you to sort of go through this particularly quickly. She said, it's all right. It'll end up in my bottom tray.
Precisely.
Dave, Brad, thank you so very, very much.
See you, boys. And you two on tonight.
We're on tonight at 7 for a preview of the Sunderland game, and Brad's joining me for that. If you're free at 9, Dave, and you want to come on, we're talking about all the Championship games.
No, I'm not talking about that anymore. My predictions are right up the swanny, so
no. Yours and mine both.
Thank you surely very much. Not four on the bounce.
7 o'clock tonight for the Sunderland preview. We've got a gentleman coming on from the Roker Report. And Kaylee, take care. Our Gabe's got his off.
She left hours ago.
So all the best then. Guys. Take care, everybody. Cheers. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. So nothing to worry about, according to the lads. Well, I say lads. I mean, you know, Dave can't really be called a lad, can he? You know, a grand lad, as in granddad. But there we go. But look, it's been great. It's been interesting. Where's it going to go from here? Who knows? You know, and we've got Sunderland. God help us. We will be discussing that tonight back here at 7 o'clock. If you've been listening via your favourite podcast platform, whatever that may be, YouTube, Spotify, etc., 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 thank you so very, very much. And if you've been watching and joining in, thank you for your points. Thank you for your respect. I don't agree with your decisions. With some of the comments, you don't agree with mine. That's what these shows are all about. But I totally respect every one of your opinions, and I will see you tonight at 7 o'clock. Take care. Goodbye now.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You better like them too, or I'll be back.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts.
Including Leicester Till I Die, independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans, for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.